It's just a real honor to be able to be with you today and have the opportunity to share the Word of God with you. So I want you to open your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. I've been in this text in my own study for several months, and I've been there because I wanted to learn the truth of this text. I need it in my life. Because what I have discovered is this: we as Baptists, and by the way, I was on a piano bench 9 months before I was born in a Baptist church, all right, so I'm Baptist. But what I have learned about us Baptists, we know we get it right when it comes to preaching the truth about the gospel, about how to be saved. I'm thankful for that, aren't you? But I'm afraid that we're not quite as good about helping people to understand how to appropriate and to enjoy this abundant life that Christ has given us. And so today I want to talk about how we can get on this pathway of the abundant life and enjoy it. And I want to talk to you about the key ingredient to living the victorious, abundant life. Galatians chapter 5. And I want to begin reading in verse 16. Paul says, "I say then, walk by the Spirit, and you will certainly not carry out," some translations say, "gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is against the Spirit, and the Spirit desires what is against the flesh. These are opposed to each other, so that you don't do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law." That is, you don't have to work it out on your own. Now he says, "The works of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, moral impurity, promiscuity, idolatry, sorcery, hatreds, strife, jealousy, outburst of anger, selfish ambitions, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and anything similar." Well, that's an ugly list. I'm glad he's talking about other people and not me. Amen. And then he gives a warning. He said, "I am warning you about these things, as I warned you before, that those," and I want to give you the language as it really needs to be said, "that those who habitually practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The law is not against such things." And then he sums it up this way. This is a powerful truth. Listen to it. "Now, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit." Wow. I want you to think with me for a moment about that demarcation line in your life, that moment when you recognize by the conviction of the Holy Spirit that you needed to turn from sin through repentance and turn to Jesus in faith. Now, that may have happened to you somewhere in a VBS, or it may have happened to you at a church camp, or like Falls Creek for many people. It may, by the way, there were only 537 saved last week at Falls Creek. Amen. Isn't that amazing? Now, that may have happened to you there. It may have happened to you. Some of us are old enough. It might have even happened to you in a revival meeting. You remember what that was? The issue is not where it happened, but the truth that it did happen. That there was that moment when you said, "Lord, I repent of my sin. I turn to you. I ask you to come into my life to live. Forgive me of all of my sin." And in that moment, listen, in that moment, the God of heaven came to live in your heart in the person of the Holy Spirit. That's what the Bible says. He indwelled you. And he set you on a course to every day grow and to become more and more like Jesus, so that when you get to heaven, you'll be a lot more like Jesus than when you started. Amen? And that's what we call the abundant life. Jesus said, "Listen, I want you to not just have life, I want you to have the abundant life." And so we start on that journey. But for most of us, somewhere along the line, it may have been sooner or later, but somewhere along the line, we discovered something. The old way started coming back in. It may have been a click on the internet. It may have been a night out with friends. It may have been some other kind of experience. It may have been confronted with something in business that it was easier to lie than to tell the truth in order to get the deal. And so along the way we decided, we saw that these old ways began to crop back in and the old patterns began to exist. And for many of us, our response to that was, well, I just can't live this Christian life, so I'll come to church, I'll go through the motions and move on down the road. And we stop growing spiritually. And then for others of us, we come along, we feel the conviction and the brokenness over this old stuff that starts rising up in us. And we keep falling into the old patterns and the old sin. And we say, well, I don't want to live like that anymore. So in some service, we come forward and we say we rededicate our life. And let me tell you, for most of us, what that means is I'm going to try harder to try to live for Jesus. The only problem is that doesn't work, and I'll show you why in a moment. And so we go back and we try again, but those old patterns continue to exist. And somewhere along the line we say, you know what, I don't know what it is, but I have concluded that something is missing in my Christian journey. I'm not experiencing this abundant life that Jesus promised. And I'll tell you what, I like what Francis Chan said in his book, Forgotten God. Listen to the way he deals with this something that is missing in our spiritual life. He said, I believe that this missing something is actually a missing someone named the Holy Spirit. Listen, he says, without him, people operate in their own strength and only accomplish human-sized results. The world is not moved by love or actions that are human creation, and the church is not empowered to live differently from any other gathering of people without the Holy Spirit. But when believers live in the power of the Spirit, the evidence in their lives is supernatural. Now that's the key to the abundant life, living a supernatural life rather than a natural life. He says the church cannot help but be different when this supernatural life is in us, and that the world cannot help but notice. You see, that's the tragedy in the church today. We look more like our culture than we do like Christ. Somewhere along the line, we have missed this important and significant step, and that is that the only way to live the Christian life is to live it in the power of the Holy Spirit. The only way to overcome sin in our life is through the power of the Holy Spirit. Listen, all of the keeping, we cannot live by the law, that is, by doing good works and somehow overcome. In fact, Paul, in the book of Galatians, chapter 3, he confronts the church with this very idea. In fact, he does it in a not so nice way. He looks at the church and he says, "You fools." Woo, that's not a Sunday morning verse, is it? He says, "You fools, you're foolish. Who has beguiled you?" he said. The fact is that you began your Christian journey on the basis of faith, not by works. You couldn't keep the law and get saved. You were only saved by the Spirit of God giving you new birth in Christ on the basis of faith and His grace. And he says, why in the world would you think then that you can live the Christian life by doing good works and succeed when you began by the Spirit, you must also continue by the Spirit. Amen. So, this morning I want to spend a few moments with you talking about what it looks like to live the Christian life in the power of the Spirit. And you say, well, I'm here today, I'm not even a Christian. Well, you just listen up, because I want to assure you that what happened to most of us in this room, that is that moment we repented of sin and turned to Christ and received His forgiveness, is available to you. In just a moment, I'm going to give you an opportunity to make that right with God and give you the beginning of how you can live the Christian life. All right? So look at the text. Listen to what Paul said. He says, I say to you, in other words, listen up. I'm getting ready to give you an earth-shattering spiritual truth that will absolutely revolutionize your life. What I'm about to say to you is the key to this spiritual journey of living for Jesus, of becoming like Christ, of growing in righteousness and holiness, and letting your life be lived out to His glory. And here it is. Walk by the Spirit, And you will certainly not, no, never is the way it is. You will certainly not carry out the desire of the flesh. Let me tell you something. In all of this text, that is the key thought. And it's in two parts. One is a command, and a second one is a promise. He says, here's the strategic command I want you to hear. To live the Christian life, you must learn to walk by the Spirit. Now, that's a wonderful sounding phrase. In fact, you go through the rest, and there are four verbs that he uses. One is to walk by the Spirit, and then he says, a little later on, be led by the Spirit. A little later on, he says, I want you to live by the Spirit. And a little later on, he says, keep in step with the Spirit. So there must be something rather significant about this business of living our lives in the power and in a relationship with the Holy Spirit of God. What does it mean to walk, to be led, to live, to keep in step with the Spirit? Well, I'm going to sort of boil it down and sum it up. The fact of the matter is that the Holy Spirit is not an it. He is the very person of Holy God. And the moment that we are saved, He comes to live in us. He is the presence of God in us. Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And the reason is because I'm going to send my Spirit to live in you. But He doesn't just come in to take idle residence. In fact, I like what Stephen Alford said. He said it's not important just to have Him as a resident of your life. It is more significant to have Him as the president of your life. So to have the Holy Spirit living in us is coming to that point in our life where we say, listen, I want an intimate relationship with the very presence of Holy God in my life. And all of these words give us a beautiful graphic picture that God wants an intimate relationship with us, that the Holy Spirit has been sent. You read what Jesus said in John chapter 13 through 17, and here's what you'll discover. The Holy Spirit has been given to us in order to teach us and to make the Word of God come alive in us, to guide us so that we don't have to walk on our own. He is given to us so that He might comfort and care for us. He is given to us so that He might convict us when we go wrong. He is given to us in order to walk with us and to show us how to live. Listen, we're talking about an intimate, dynamic relationship with the person of the Holy Spirit that dwells in us. So when I walk with the Spirit, it means that I am surrendering to Him. I'm yielding to Him. I'm living my life in communication with Him. There is a dynamic interaction between me and the Holy Spirit of God, day in and day out. And listen, it is in the present tense. It's the idea that it's not a point in time decision, but it is an ongoing, day by day experience living with the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. So He says, walk by the Spirit. And the promise that is attached to it is this. You will not, it's a double negative, you will no, never fulfill the desires of the flesh. Now, I think I need to help you understand what flesh means in the New Testament. Because our first idea when we talk about desire and flesh is sexual sin. Now, that's a part of it, but that's not really the definition. It really is this. It is the selfish, self-centered old nature that dominated us before we met Jesus as our Savior. It is that I want what I want when I want it, and I don't care who else wants something else from me. It is the idea that I live my life and I'm the master of my own life and I don't need God interfering. I just want my ticket punched for heaven. I'm not worried about anything else. And I got to tell you something, if that's what you think about what it means to be saved, you have severely missed the truth. Because we are saved to live to His glory. And the part of that is to say, I'm going to let Him dwell and I'm going to let Him work through my life. And on the other side, I won't fulfill the desires of the flesh when the Spirit of God is in control. Because listen, the works of the flesh are the out of control things in our lives. And so He says, listen, when you come to Christ, here's what will happen to you. You let the Holy Spirit direct your life. You will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. Now, that's an incredible promise. It's God giving us freedom and letting us know that when we walk with Him, we can win the victorious Christian life. When we walk with Him, we can experience all the fullness of this great, abundant life that Christ has brought for us. But then He says, I want you to wake up to something. He says, because living the Christian life means that you're going to live in a fierce conflict that's going to rage inside of you until you allow the Holy Spirit to come and take prominence in your life. And even then, listen, the old self will keep rising up inside of you. The old ways will keep pressing against you and wanting to have dominance, because after all, it had dominance in your life until you met Jesus. We don't need to think it's just going to walk away, or all of our nature is just going to radically change all at once. We have the potential because the Spirit of God is in us, but we must work out, live out our salvation in living by the Spirit. Amen. And so he says, here it is. You need to understand that in you is this eternal war that is going on between the Spirit of God, who has come to take residence and sit on the throne of your life, and the old nature that keeps saying, no, you don't need to follow him. And he says they are in absolute opposition to one another. Now, you know this to be true. You say, well, I want to live for Jesus. I'm going to set my heart to live for Jesus, and I want to honor him in everything I do. And you make that decision, and before the day is over, there is this old nature crawling up in you. Somebody says something to you, and you immediately want to respond by taking their head off. Wait a minute, I'm trying to live for Jesus and glorify him. I want to live in the Spirit. No, no. The old flesh rises up. In fact, it's the same schemes of the devil that started in Genesis 3. The Spirit says, I want you to love. And the old nature says, I want to love myself. The Spirit says, no, you love others. And what is in you says, no, I love myself more than I love others. And it's that constant war. And the Bible says that you're going to live like that. You're going to live in that turmoil, and you're going to have that tug of war that's going on inside of you. The Spirit's saying, live for Jesus and love people the way Jesus says. And the old nature's saying, I'm going to live for myself, and I'm going to do what I want. I mean, listen, he always says this to you. Look, there's nothing wrong with what you want. Well, that's just a natural desire in you. And don't you know God wants you to have your natural desires? Listen, yes, he does. He wants you to live out your natural desires and experience them in accordance with his will, not in accordance with your will. And that war goes on in us. That tug of war. And you say, well, is there any victory? In fact, John, you know, Paul talks about it in Romans 7. He says, I don't do what I want to do, and I do what I don't want to do. He says, I struggle with this. I'm constantly in that battle. But you can't miss the end of what he says in Romans chapter 7. He says, oh, but thanks be to God. I'm a wretched man, but oh, thanks be to God that I have victory in Christ Jesus. I'm going to tell you something. The victory over sin comes in the power of the Holy Spirit when we yield and surrender to him, because Christ has already won the victory for us. Now, I want to say something that I think is very important. There's an eternal war in you, but I'm going to tell you, it's not a fair fight. You say, well, what do you mean, preacher? Do you mean that Satan is strong? No, no. No, I want you to understand, it's not a fair fight if you'll surrender and yield to the power of the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you why. Do you know that when Jesus died on the cross, the Bible says he gathered up that old nature of ours and he nailed it to the cross. And Paul says we're co-crucified with Christ. The fact of the matter is, in Romans 6, before you get to Romans 7, Paul says you need to understand something. When Jesus died on the cross and when you put your faith in him, at that moment, listen, Jesus broke the penalty of sin, so we're going to be forgiven. We don't have to face our darkness in heaven because we've been forgiven by Christ. But there's another part of that that we often miss. Not only that, he broke the power of sin in our life. Listen, we don't have to live defeated lives. We don't have to constantly cave in and fall in. We don't have to always go by the way of the world. Listen, we can win the victory through the power of the Holy Spirit. Do you understand that Paul says in Ephesians that the same power that brought Jesus out of the grave lives in us in the person of the Holy Spirit? Listen, Christian friend, you are a resurrection Christian. And the resurrected power of God lives in you. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. It's not a fair fight. Jesus is more powerful. The Holy Spirit of God is more powerful than the flesh and the devil and hell itself. And our point is simply to come to that place where we surrender. We say, Lord, I want you to work through me. I want you to live through me. Holy Spirit, I say yes to you and I say no to sin. So you say, well, what happens whenever I have this tug of war? What happens when temptation comes? I'll tell you what happens. You have a choice. One of those choices is you say yes to the temptation. And I promise you, if you're a child of God, when you say yes, you will feel guilt and you'll feel conviction and you'll feel shame in your life. Listen, that's what Satan wants. He has lost you for eternity, but the best thing he can do to hurt the cause of Christ is to trip you up, cause you to fall, get you to bring shame to the cause of Christ and live in guilt and defeat. He wants to do that in your life. And so if you want to say yes to the temptation, then go ahead. But I promise you, it won't go well. There's a second thing. You can say, well, I'm just going to try to beat this. I'm going to suck it up. I'm going to grip my teeth. I can overcome this sin in my life. I'm not going to let it whip me. Listen, you can't do anything. Jesus said, without me, you can't do anything. There's nothing you're capable of spiritually. Your old flesh is dead, and it's not going to do anything. It'll never produce anything spiritual. You can't win the victory through trying harder. You can only do it when you say yes to the Holy Spirit. Temptation comes, and you say, Lord, Holy Spirit, I need help. I feel such temptation, such power, this old self rising up in me. Holy Spirit, you and you alone can give me victory. Give me the power to stand true and not cave in. And I promise you, he will come to your aid and he will give you victory, just as he did Jesus when Satan tempted him. You can have victory and you can live the abundant life. Just say yes to the Holy Spirit. Now, there's this war that's going on inside of us. But the victory comes by saying yes to the Spirit. There's a third thing. Look at it. You say, well, how do I know whether I'm living this abundant life? And how can I know the difference between a spiritual life and a fleshly life? Well, he puts it in very stark contrast. Look at it. He says, I want you to understand these are the acts of the flesh. Now, you're going to be thankful. I don't have time to go through all 15 of these this morning. Aren't you glad? Rather, what I want you to do is see this. What Satan does in our lives and what the old fleshly nature does is it crawls up inside of us and it says, you just need, remember this song? You just need to live naturally. You just need to do whatever feels good. I mean, God created you and he gave you these desires, so just let them go and do whatever feels right. I mean, that is the pervasive attitude even among Christians today. I'd almost get an amen on that because it's true. Let me give you an example from just this week. The Bachelorette says, I don't watch that show, by the way. Bless you if you do. Bachelorette says, listen, it's okay for me to have an immoral relationship with somebody on this show. I'm a Christian. I love Jesus, but it's okay. I can do whatever I want to because it feels so good. And besides that, Jesus still loves me. Listen to me. The issue is not whether Jesus still loves you. The issue is, do you love Jesus? Because if you love Jesus, you'll keep his commandments. If you love him, you want to do the things that are supernatural and spiritual. And that means you resist the temptation to fall into sin. And you say yes to the Holy Spirit and live to the glory of God. Listen, Satan wants to turn our desires, right desires, and turn them to be used in a wrong way. And so Paul says, here's the works of the flesh. You want to know what the flesh is like? Let me show you what it's like. And I'm telling you, that's the dirty 15 if you read that. And you can read others in other passages of Scripture. Paul is just saying, listen, folks. When you do the works, plural, of the flesh, here's what's going to happen. this incredible, wonderful sexual desire that God has put in all human beings to His glory and to His good and is set to be used in the right way. The flesh wants to turn it and twist it and use it in a wrong way. And then he talks about worship. God has put in all of us a desire to worship something larger and bigger than ourselves, and that something is Him. But you see, the flesh says, no, no, I'm going to worship me. I'm going to worship what I want. I'm going to make a God that looks like I want Him to look. And I'm going to live the way I want to live. God gives us a desire to be in a relationship with others and to experience a wonderful friendship and love and caring for others. And the old flesh rises up and says, no, I'm going to use people. I'm going to get what I want out of them. I'm going through life. I'll do whatever I want to do. I just need to get ahead. I need to be number one. And by the way, don't say you don't ever wrestle with that, because you do. And I know it because I know I do. The flesh says, God says, I want you to do this. I want you to live a life that is self-controlled. And the flesh says, no, I'll tell you what you're going to do. I want you to live a life that's out of control. Don't let God throw a monkey wrench in your fun. You just need to live however you want to live. Don't worry about all of that. You can carouse. You can get drunk. You do whatever you want to do. It doesn't matter. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you're going to die. Right? God says, no, no, you're getting prepared for heaven. And every time you live like that, you are out of control. And every time you do, you find yourself living in a way that is displeasing to God. And you live in shame and guilt and defeat. God says, I don't want you to live like that. I don't want you to live like that at all. I want you to know the joy of living for me. And then he gives a warning. Do you notice that? He said, I need you to know, I warn you as I've warned you before. Listen to it. I'd be a bad preacher if I didn't make this clear. Some of you are saying, well, you're a bad preacher anyway. That's okay. But I'm going to be bad on this. He said, I warn you of this. Those who habitually, whose life's trajectory, whose life practice is living according to the flesh, will not inherit the kingdom of God. Listen to me. You can say you're a Christian. You can walk 100 aisles, be baptized 100 times. But listen, if there's not a transformation going on in your life, you better go back and check whatever your experience was, because it wasn't genuine. And I don't say that in me. I say that out of a heart of love. I don't want anybody to get to go into eternity and separated from God because I didn't warn them and say, listen, you don't understand. You don't just get saved and go do what you want to do. You get saved and live to the glory of God. And then Paul says, I want you to know there's also the fruit of the Spirit. Now, it's singular, fruit. You know what that means? That means it's not individual. It is a character. It is a whole piece. And here's what it is in simple terms. It is the beauty of the Christ life lived in you. I can't make it any simpler than that. You read these fruit of the Spirit, and here's what you'll discover. They are all the characteristics of who Jesus is. And when we allow the Holy Spirit to live the Christian life through us, He produces. It is what Jesus meant in John chapter 15, that we abide in Christ and His words abide in us, and we will bear fruit, much fruit, He says. And that fruit is the character of Christ in our life. Listen, Paul said in Romans 8, our purpose in life is to be ever transformed and conformed to the image of the Son of God. That's what the abundant life is about. And he says, I want you to understand, this is what the fruit does, the Spirit of God does in you. He produces the very life of Christ. Listen, you can't live in the power of the Holy Spirit without the fruit of the Spirit coming out of you. Because that's what the Spirit produces. That's the tree that it comes off of. When we moved to Oklahoma City and became pastor of Northwest Baptist Church, there were such a wonderful people. And I remember that the first Sunday there, they gave us a money tree. Now, and for those of you who are uninformed, a money tree was a sycamore tree about this tall, in a pot, and it had ones and fives and tens and twenties. I wish it had had thousands, but it had ones and fives and tens and twenties all over that tree. And I liked that tree. And I went out and I planted that tree in my backyard. And I want to tell you, to this day, I drive by and look at that tree and wonder if it's ever going to bear money. Well, it doesn't. You know why? Because it's a sycamore tree. It's not a money tree. I'm going to tell you, when you plant an orange tree, you're going to get oranges. The reality is, when the Spirit of the living God is in your life and dominating and resident president of your life, here's what's going to happen. You are going to bear by the natural work of the Spirit in you. You don't have to work it up. You don't have to try to get it done on your own. He will produce in you love and peace and joy and kindness and gentleness and long suffering. And He'll produce in you self-control. That's the work of the Spirit in us. Now, it leaves us with a victorious conclusion. Listen to these verses, and we'll be done. Now, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Two things. You want to live the victorious Christian life? Here it is. You must accept the fact that your old flesh was crucified with Christ at the cross, and you need to leave it nailed to the cross. You know, in chapter 2 and verse 20, he says, I've been co-crucified with Christ. That is in a passive voice. That is, Christ does this on you and in you and to you. Here it is a change of tense in the Greek. It is an active. And here's the idea. Just like Jesus said, you want to come follow me? Here's what you need to do. Take up your what? What's the word? Cross. And how often are you to take up that cross? Daily. Here's what he's saying. Every day, instead of coddling and looking up at the old flesh dangling from the cross and saying, boy, I wish I could go back and do some of that stuff. No, instead of doing that, you look up and you say, every morning, Lord Jesus, when you died on the cross, you took my sin, my shame, my darkness, my brokenness, my old flesh, and you nailed it to the cross. And Lord Jesus, as much as within me, I surrender to the Spirit. Today, I want that old stuff to remain nailed to the cross. And every time it tries to crawl up, just drive another nail in it. Holy Spirit, I surrender. Second thing is this. Keep in step with the Spirit. This is another way of saying live by the Spirit, walk by the Spirit. You know, I'm an old band man. You say, well, you're old, all right. But I'm an old band man. And I must tell you, I came through, in my college days, we did the pageantry kind of marching, but in my high school, we did the old military style march. In fact, I hate to tell you this, but I live under this banner, but I got to tell you, on the other side, I love my favorite band in all the land is an A&M Aggie band. Whoo! I mean, when they come out on the field, I mean, I just sort of stand to attention. I mean, I love watching that. I love to watch those trombones because I'm a trombone, but I love to watch those trombones negotiating that, all of those maneuvers that they do. But I'm telling you, they march. And they march in a straight line. And when they march together. Right? They keep in step with the drum major. Now listen to me. When you live the Christian life in the power of the Holy Spirit, here's what happens. You don't join the Aggie band. You join the Holy Spirit band. And you march in step. And when you get out of step, they taught us whenever we get out of step, you just skip and you get back in step again. I'm going to tell you, when you get out of step and you're not marching with the Spirit and that old flesh rises up, here's what you do. You say, Lord Jesus, forgive me. I have failed. I've fallen in a ditch. But Holy Spirit, pick me up and put me in step with you. I want to live to the glory of God. I want Him to be edified. Keep in step with the Spirit. Well, some of us this morning, we're out of step. And we know it. We're trying to live the Christian life on our own, and we need to quit it. And for some of you, the most important thing you could do is find a place at this altar and say, Lord, I want you to know, I've been trying to live this Christian life on my own, but Holy Spirit, fill me. Take control of my life. And every day I'm going to make that the prayer of my life. Holy Spirit, please, by faith, empower me to live the Christian life. For some of us, that's exactly what we need to do today. You say, well, I can make that decision sitting back there. You can. Listen, I don't care where you make it. But I can tell you this, you come to this altar, you kneel before God, and every time you walk in this room, there's a nail driven down. There's a spot, there's a stone that is there that says, that's where I made that decision. I'm going to live that way. Some of you need to step out and come this morning and make that decision. Some of you here today have never trusted Christ as your Savior. You need to come. Because I'm going to tell you, He wants to come in you and transform you, and He will do that by the power of His Holy Spirit. You just need to say, Lord, I repent. Please forgive me. Come into my life and live and take residence and be president. That's what I ask. And today, He will save you and set you on the pathway of the abundant life. Listen, there are other decisions. Some of you need to join this church. You just need to step forward and say, I want to be a part of this family. And to serve here. That's for you. You come. But today, you either say yes to the Holy Spirit or you walk out of here and say no. And I'm telling you, you don't want to say no to the Holy Spirit. Say yes. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, I pray that you will speak in power and authority, taking your word and piercing our hearts. Lord, what I have said is not important, but what your Spirit has said is of vital importance. Don't let us say no to you today, Lord. By the power of your Holy Spirit, bring such utter conviction. We cannot walk out of here like we came in. Set us on the pathway to abundant living through the power of the Holy Spirit right now. Listen, in just a moment, we're going to stand together. I've told you, as clear as I know, what you need to do. But more importantly, the Spirit of God's calling you to do it. So, in just a moment, we're going to stand. The moment we stand, we're going to sing. And there are pastors here. You may just need to ask a pastor, pray with me. Man, I've been struggling. I need to get past this. And they'll love praying with you. But you know what you need to do. So let's stand and let's say yes to Jesus. Let's stand and sing. You come right now. Don't wait.